All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 31, a very famous story. It's the Christmas story. We are finding the story of both Mary and also her cousin Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the 6th month with her, who was called barren." Now this is the verse I want to focus on. Verses 37 and 38 here. "For God, nothing shall be impossible." Whew. That just preaches itself, doesn't it? Verse 38 is going to be the main thought here. Verse 38. "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. As we were singing earlier, there are many different reports that are out there that are telling us this and that. But the report that we can only believe and truly confide in is the report of the Lord. I want to be in the state of being that God has spoken, not what man has spoken. And so by the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to preach to you this message. And I believe that there are going to be signs and wonders that are going to happen today. The Spirit of God is here to bring liberty. That's what I really felt in my spirit to confirm what Pastor was saying. That God is here to liberate some people today. And if you've come in here bound, I want to tell you that you can leave here with the chains behind you. That once you encounter Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same. So let us go into the Lord in prayer. Let's ask for His blessing on this word. And as we go forward today, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your power and your presence. God, for in your presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God, there is nothing that we lack when we are in your presence. And even today, Lord God, I pray that your spirit would envelop this congregation. God, that you'd arrest the hearts and the minds of those that are hearing this word. I pray right now that the power of the enemy, his ability, his entrenchments, his weapons that have been arrayed against us, that they would be broken, they would be dismantled and shattered, that they would be torn asunder. And I pray for there to be a release in this place in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree, let there be liberty, let there be freedom, let there be, I pray, release in the spirit realm today. I pray most importantly, let someone encounter the power of God. Let someone, I pray, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let someone encounter the Spirit of God, His loving kindness and His mercy. We decree and declare all these things right now, and we thank you and give you the praise. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to talk to you about the integrity of God's Word. There is no book that has received such an assault or such slander than the Word of God. And everything that we see in the media every week, everything we experience in our daily lives is constantly attempting to contradict the integrity of God's Word. And today, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to show you the power of God's Word. That one of the issues that we have in the body of Christ is that there is a lack of respect and reverence for what the Word of God truly is. And that it is not just a book of moral principles or ethics. It's not just a man's philosophy or a man's religion. But it is the Word of the Creator. That by it the heavens and the earth were brought into existence. The Word of God, which is called the Bible, is the most amazing book on earth. However, as I said before, it's been slandered by philosophers and by atheists and been relegated to being just a fairy tale. And I recall an incident years ago when I was working with Sprint. I worked with a Muslim, and we were discussing religion, discussing our different beliefs. And one of the questions that he asked is, what differentiates the Bible from, let's say, the Quran or from any other religious book that is out there? And I want to share with you one of the truths that differentiates the Bible from any other book. The Bible validates itself through prophecy or the foretelling of future events hundreds of years before they occur. One of the things that makes the Bible real and that makes it true is that it has the in-depth insight into events before they ever occur. In the scripture, there are over 300 prophecies concerning Christ's first advent, his first coming. And that they talk about his crucifixion. They talk about his birth. They talk about where he would be born. They talked about his ministry, the things that he would do, down to the detail of him riding on a donkey as a king in Jerusalem. Every detail of his life was mapped out. The Bible gives us insights into our reality prior to them even occurring or being discovered by scientists. That the Bible even says that the earth was round before scientists ever believed that. In Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 22, it talks about how God sits on the circle of the earth, saying the earth was round even before scientists ever discovered that the earth was round. They believed that it was flat. The Bible has scientific evidence. It has integrity. It can be relied upon. But what intellectual community has communicated to us is that the Bible is just a fictitious book. It's a book of fairy tales. But I want to tell you that every word that's in the Bible is there by divine ordinance and divine intelligence. For example, just bear with me a moment. If you look at a genealogy, for example, let's say if I wanted to give you an assignment, said I want you to create a genealogy, like a family tree. But there were some stipulations, there were some conditions with this particular genealogy. The first condition would be that the number of words must be divisible by 7 evenly in describing your genealogy. The number of letters must be divisible by 7 evenly that are in your genealogy. The number of vowels and consonants to be divisible by 7 evenly. The number of words that begin with a vowel are to be divisible by 7. The number of words that begin with a consonant to be divisible by 7. The number of words that occur more than once to be divisible by 7. The words that occur in more than one form have to be divisible by 7. The words that occur in only one form to be divisible by 7. Sorry, I read that again. The number of nouns to be divisible by 7. Only 7 words in your genealogy will not be nouns. The number of names that are in there will also be divisible by 7. Only 7 other kinds of nouns will be permitted. The number of male names shall be divisible by 7. And the number of generations that you have shall be divisible by 7. Not to mention the number of conditions I listed are also divisible by 7. You know whose genealogy fits that? Jesus Christ. Now, if I gave you a supercomputer to try and invent that, you would have a tough time. And you're telling me some ignorant Jews from, you know, 1,000 years ago with no technology just invented this. Jesus' family tree. His family, just the people that are in his family, meet all of those conditions. That's how powerful the word of God is. Matthew 5:18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle," basically one dotting of the I, one crossing of the T, "shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Every punctuation, every piece of material that is in the Word of God is not there by accident or happenstance. It is there by divine providence, and it is powerful. It can change your life if you believe it. And one of the biggest problems that we have in the body of Christ is its ignorance of God's Word. Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That because we are not fully familiar with what the Word of God says on a given subject or situation, that the enemy is able to take advantage of us and we fall prey to his devices. And we miss out on the greatest blessings that God has for us. We miss out on intimacy and relationship with our Creator. And so it is very important that we get an understanding of God's Word, that we hide God's Word inside of our heart. I want you to return back to Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And I want to show you something here in this text, which I think is very relevant to our theme for the month. Our theme for the month is the promises of God. And one of the biggest deals that we have, the issues that we have in the Christian faith, is fighting for believing what the Bible says. When the situation is dictating to you that you're not going to receive what the Bible says, it's very difficult to stand in faith when your senses are telling you the exact opposite. What you have to do is get to a place in your walk with God when the Word of God becomes more real to you than the situation that you're confronting. And that's what we're finding here in this text. We find two individuals who are dealing with an impossible situation, and God says this is how it's going to be, and I want you to look at their responses. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 says this, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." This is the angel Gabriel talking to Mary. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now Mary asked the question, how is this going to happen? All right. And when Gabriel responds to her, he says, he basically gives an explanation. But what's interesting is, in this same chapter, if you go to the beginning of the chapter in verse 16, we see the angel Gabriel visited Mary's cousin Elizabeth and Zacharias first. All right? And look what happens here. So Luke 1:16. says this, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." This is Gabriel talking to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. "And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this?" Now look at this. He says, "Whereby shall I know this?" Yes, a question, just like Mary did when he heard that, okay, my wife is going to have a child. And to give you context, Elizabeth was very old. She was not a young woman. Zacharias was also very old. And of course, when you get old, things don't work out quite as well as they used to. So she is past the period of childbearing age. And they don't have any supplements or medicine to assist in the process. No in vitro fertilization. So he's like, okay, that's a nice story you told me there, but how do I know this is even true, he says. Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Now look how Gabriel responds. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand the prince of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now wait a minute here. So he asked a question like, you know, how do I even know this is true? Gabriel said, because you're questioning my credibility, you're going to be dumb for the next few months. In other words, he was going to be unable to speak. Mary asked what looks like the same question. How shall I know? He says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And Gabriel gives an explanation. Well, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and impregnate you, and that's how you're going to get pregnant. It's considering that you're not having a relation with a man. You'll be a virgin birth. Why are these responses so different is the question I wanted to ask. Why did Gabriel give an explanation to Mary but punish Zacharias for asking what appears to be the same question? And now I want to show you something, okay? Because when you look at it, it looks like the same question, but they're really not asking the same question. They're actually asking two very different questions. Mary is questioning how the plan of God will be implemented, while Zacharias questions the integrity of God's word, whether or not what he's hearing is even true. Look at the questions again. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How is this going to happen? What is the mechanism by which I'm going to receive a child, considering I'm a virgin? Now, you look at Zacharias' question, Luke 1, verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? How do I even know this is legit? That you're not trying to just like peddle something on me, trying to pull a fast one on me. How do I know this is even true? Because he questioned the integrity of the word of God that was delivered unto him, the Bible said that he became dumb. It's dumb to question God's word. That's not me saying that. When you start questioning whether or not the word of God is true, the Bible says that you might be a few screw loose. You might not be a few fries short of a happy meal. It says in Matthew 16:4, it says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed. The fact of the matter is that whenever you question the integrity of God's word, you open the door to become dumb. My point I want to make here is this, that the word dumb means an inability to speak. From that point on, Zacharias had no capability to speak. He had no speech. And he could not speak until John the Baptist was born. And the fact of the matter is that whenever you are doubting God's word, that the devil will hit you with a dumb spirit. He'll hit you with a dumb spirit because if he can get you to shut your mouth and not speak God's word in the circumstance, then he's got you. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That you have the power to change your reality by the things that you speak. God, who had the power to change his reality, he did it through his words. When God created everything, in Genesis 1:3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible says that we were made in his likeness and in his image, meaning that we had the same creative power to make things occur by what we say. We look in Mark 11, verse 23, where it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things he saith. There is power in your tongue and when you speak. So the devil will try to bombard you with situations and tribulations to dumb you up, to shut you up. So when you come to church and when you're in the circumstance and you're in the trial, you won't open your mouth to praise God because you're thinking about how am I going to pay this car bill. You won't open your mouth to speak faith to someone else that's going through trouble because you're thinking how am I going to get over this cancer. The devil is trying to hit you with a dumb spirit. He's trying to hit you with a dumb spirit, trying to keep you quiet from speaking God's word. Because if you start speaking God's word in faith, believing, things are going to start happening. That's what Mark 11:23 says. In verse 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That is an ironclad guarantee by God himself. You cannot let the devil dumb you up and shut you up. Now, on the other hand, here's another way of looking at this situation. To prevent Zacharias from cursing himself and the thing that God has blessed, God may have caused him to be speechless. Actually, God did cause him to be speechless. Because this guy was full of doubt and unbelief, and God was trying to work something out. So Gabriel said, I'm going to shut you up so you don't say something stupid and curse yourself. You look at the story of Job, that Job was going through immense suffering and anguish. All 10 of his children died in one day, lost all of his wealth in one day, lost his home, his finances, his business went down in one day. And Job's wife looked at Job and said, why don't you curse God and die? Open your mouth and blaspheme God. Reject God. Isolate yourself from God. And God said to Zacharias, he said, I'm going to shut you up because the plan that I have for this time, it's too great for you to curse and to condemn. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:28, it says, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So you're in traffic and someone cuts you off and suddenly a few words want to rise to your lips. Shut up! The doctor gives you a bad report. You're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. This cancer is in the fourth stage. Shut up! Don't you say a word. You hold fast to the unchanging word, the word of God. The only word that you should say is the word of God. Do not speak doubt and unbelief into your circumstance. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. If someone hearing you would be cursed by what you're saying, then don't say it. Psalm 39 verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. Psalm 39 verse 9 says, I was dumb and I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. The Bible says this in Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. So the thing is this, that Zacharias became dumb because he was not believing God's word. And you become dumb. Hallelujah. The enemy tries to shut you up from speaking life, for one. But also maybe God may have to shut you up because you might say something stupid and kill your fool self. Just the truth. Just the truth. So here's the thing now. Sometimes, as I said before, people are so oppressed by the dumb spirit that Satan sends, that they cannot speak words of faith for themselves. So this is why we are called to intercede for them. Some of your brother and sister might be going through a struggle, might be going through a situation, and they don't know how to pray for themselves. That's why you're there to speak life into them. Someone has just died and they're grieving. They're at a loss for words. They just lost their job. They don't know what to say. That's when you step into the situation and you start speaking life and you start saying, thus saith the Lord. Mary did not fall back and did not question whether or not it was true. She only wanted to know, how is this going to happen? She only wanted to know, what can I do to position myself to receive what God has spoken? Be it unto me according to thy word. Once Gabriel gave the explanation, she said, let it happen. So be it. Be it unto me according to your word. I will not heed the word of another. I will not receive another report. I will just receive what God has said on the subject. And the biggest problem that we have about being blessed by God isn't that God is not able to do what he says. It's that we often lack the faith to receive what God wants us to have. And that because we question whether or not this word is true, The enemy is able to get us. And that's what the Bible says. It says to fight the good fight of faith. I mentioned this in a message I preached about a year ago called Let's Settle This. That the biggest fight that the believer fights for is whether or not he or she's going to believe the word of God. All of the fights are based upon that. Because once you believe God's word, the issue is over. The issue is over. Because whatever God says happens. When God says, devil, get out of this person, the devil leaves. When God speaks to the winds and the waves that are blowing, the winds and the waves have to cease. Whatever God says about the subject, it's over. It's a wrap. The fat lady is singing. The job is done. So you've got to get, like as I said before in the Bible study, a Daffy Duck mentality, an aggressiveness, a radicalism that says that this belongs to me and I'm not moving one inch because the word of God said it. The Bible says in Psalm 33:9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19 that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. The Bible says that in Hebrews 6, it says, by two immutable things, that it is impossible for God to lie. That whatever God says is true. So if God says that by his stripes that I am healed, then that means that I am healed. If God says in his word, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then that means it is. You just need to get this in your spirit and just say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. I will not receive the report of another, but it's in God's word that I trust, and in his word will I boast. Be it unto me according to thy word. As you have spoken, God, let it come to pass. We need to start saying it forever, O Lord. Psalm 119:89, thy word is settled in heaven. There is no dispute with God about his word in heaven. Somebody tried to argue with God in heaven, and it didn't work out too good for him. He got booted out. There's no dispute about God's word in heaven. The dispute is down here. We've got to get to a place where we say, be it unto me according to thy word. When the word of God says in John 15:7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. That's Bible. That's Bible. Be it unto me according to thy word. It does not matter how impossible the situation looks. It does not matter how far gone the circumstances are. The fact of the matter is, when God speaks about the situation is over with. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say into these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He goes on to say in verse 32, and he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also give us all things? How shall he not with us him also freely give us all things? If God gave us Jesus, if God gave his life on the cross, how much more so can he give you a job? How much more so can he give you healing in your body? How much more so can he forgive your sins? The Bible said that he withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. You just need to say this in your spirit. Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. As I said before, there is a lack of reverence for God's word. We read in John chapter 6, after Jesus has told his disciples that unless you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you shall not inherit eternal life. And they all abandoned him. Then Jesus looked at Peter. I believe it's John chapter 6, verse 68, where he says, look, are you guys going to leave also? And Peter looked at Jesus and said, where else shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. To whom else shall we go? You have the very words that can create atmospheres and create planets. Where else can I go to hear a word that can make me stop killing myself and stop me from committing suicide? Where else can I go? Can I hear a word that can remove, hallelujah, diabetes, that can remove anxiety, that can remove fear? Where else can I go? Can I get a healing in my body? Where else can I hear a word that can change and transform my life? We have got to start honoring God's word. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And the Bible says it also in Psalm 119, thy entrance of thy word, it giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. The Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 4, it says, Jesus said that man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I am not sustained by the reports of men. I'm not swayed by the practitioners and the prognosticators that are saying doom and gloom, but I'm only moved by what God has said, and I'm going to stand on the word. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hallelujah. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. By the word of God we make war. By the word of God we receive the promises. You just need to get to a place where you say, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary did not debate with Gabriel. She just said, okay, what do I need to do next? Let's make this happen. Let's have a baby. While you're debating and disputing whether or not God's word is true, the blessings of God are passing you by. And Satan is further enabled to afflict you and oppress you. You must get to a place when you believe God's word. Be unto me according to the word of God. I'm going to quit. Let's stand. Let's stand. Be unto me according to thy word. According to the word of God. I am forgiven. According to the word of God, I'm healed. According to the word of God, I am victorious. According to the word of God, I am who God says I am. Whatever your situation is, the word of God covers your case. The word of God covers your case. And instead of running to the news and the social media to find out what's going on, find out what's going on in the word of God. Get back to the word of God. Respect the word of God.